You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
On this Saturday afternoon, we welcome you in. Anita Marks broadcasting from my home studio. I love saying that, Ty. I've sent you photographs, right?
You have indeed.
It's pretty cool. I feel legit. I feel like too legit to quit.
Something you can get used to.
Do you remember that song?
Too legit to quit.
Stop. Stop. If you don't know that song.
No, I know. It's just not ringing a bell right now.
If you don't know that song, we are done. We are done.
Too legit to quit.
Too legit.
Oh, yes. Obviously. Listen, it's been a long day so far.
Oh, my gosh.
So the brain power, it's not at its peak efficacy. But
well, you know what, dude?
That.
Here's the thing, dude. We got 4 freaking hours.
So exciting.
That's right. You got everyone out there. You got 4 hours with me. How are you going to deal with it? You're just going to have to. So we're with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, if you know anything about me, a lot of NFL talk, that's for sure. Let's break down the show for you. Again, I'm hosting the show from my studio. Ty is producing the show from New York City. And of course, we'll be taking your calls throughout the next 4 hours. 800-919-3776. I host a gambling show here on 90. If you don't know, now you know. Here on 98.7 ESPN called Weekend Wager. It typically airs every Friday night from 10 to midnight, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Let's be honest, Ty. I feel like we're blessed, right? Like, don't you feel like we're kind of blessed that we're in this like uncharted territory sports universe right now, where football's entering week 3, which, by the way, somebody pinch me. Can you already believe, Ty, that it's week 3? Don't you feel like it was just yesterday that we had the first Thursday night game?
No. The season's already been long for me. I'm a Jets fan.
Well, that's because you're a Jets fan, dude.
Sorry. We can fast forward this thing. It's week 17. I'm good.
Yeah, no. Oh, that just absolutely sucks. Sorry. So, but for me, like, I can't believe we're talking about week 3 of the NFL season. Like, what? And then in the NBA, you've got the Lakers tonight. Boston is keeping the series interesting against the Miami Heat. And we're embarking on a bubble championship, which more than likely, I think it's going to be Heat and Lakers. Do you still think it's going to be Celtics?
Yes.
And Lakers?
I'm still rolling with the Celtics.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So that is about to happen. Major League Baseball, we're going to get into some Yankees talk. I'm sure Yankee fans are, maybe some of you need to be walked off the ledge. I don't know, but you can't be very, I'm just, in prepping for the show this morning, I'm like, wow, Marlins have won 30 games. And then, of course, I look at the Yankees and I'm like, oh my snap, Yankees have only won 32, right? Don't you feel that way? Like, oh, wow. Marlins have won 30 games this season. And then all of a sudden you look over at the Yankees and you're like, oh, snap. Yankees have only won 32. Don't you feel that way? I mean, it's crazy. It's, what is going on? This is 2020, right? Like, nothing should surprise us, right, Ty?
Yeah, but you're laughing. I don't find it funny.
Oh, because you're a Yankee fan as well, yeah. Ty. You're a Yankees fan as well. So we'll dive into some Yankees talk. We'll hear from Aaron Boone. We've got some sound from last night's game. Unfortunately, they lost again. So Marlins clinch. Marlins, I want to say this is the third time the Marlins have made it to the postseason in the history of their franchise. So we'll dive into some of that. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. So NBA action tonight. We had some last night. And we're close to Major League Baseball going into the postseason, week 3 of the NFL. We've got the Stanley Cup Finals happening right now. The Tampa Bay Lightning looks like they're on their way to winning the Stanley Cup. And what else? I mean, it's just, you know, a part of me feels like we're blessed, but at the same time, it's kind of overload, don't you think?
And it's not like, to mention, I know we don't do a lot of it on the show, but we do have the UFC tonight. You've got boxing as well. So a ton happening in the sports universe.
What's this Conor McGregor wants to fight Pacquiao?
Pacquiao, is that? Yes. He put out a series of tweets yesterday.
They have the same agent from what I understand. So obviously this is all about the Benjamins, baby.
It is.
So,
good job out of you, all about the Benjamins, baby.
Am I not like dropping... I feel like we've been on air for 5 minutes. I've already quoted like 3 rap songs.
Yes, you are hip.
Who am I? Who am I right now? I don't know. I'm silly, and I'm going to be with you for 4 hours. God help us. So as always, our main staples on Saturday, Bill Barnwell at 1 o'clock, Cynthia Freeland at 2 o'clock. Obviously, you know me, a lot of football talk today, getting you ready for week 3 of the NFL season, whether it's matchups, Giants, Jets, a lot of talk there, a lot of talk that we're going to have on the show today in regard to the future of the Giants and the Jets and what they should do maybe with Sam Darnold, what they should do with Saquon Barkley. Tyler Kepner is going to join us at 3 o'clock to talk some Major League Baseball. We'll dive into what's going on with the Yankees, and Ty is going to have an exceptional, I know I'm putting the pressure on you, dude, an exceptional click or don't click coming your way at 3:30 this afternoon. So, as you can see, it's a jam-packed show. We're pretty stoked about it. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. I know that we've already got calls that are lining up. So I do want to start off with what's going on with the Giants right now. And I know we've got some Jets calls coming in. So just hang tight. We will get to Jets as well. My Saturday mornings, typically, I wake up around, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I start prepping for the show in my bed with my dogs. Not sure how many people out there follow me on Instagram, but I posted a photo of what it's like in the Marks household early in the morning as I lay in bed with my 5 dogs prepping for the show. It's actually a very cute photo, I might add. And then I go to my spin class. I do my spin class in the morning, and on my walk home, I stop into my my puppy store to buy my dogs some fun gifts. And I had an interesting conversation, Hoboken Pet, with Mike, and I had an interesting conversation with him. He's like, what's your take on the Giants this week? What do you think about the Giants? Like, this has to be an easy win, right? And I said, well, you would think so, right? You absolutely would think so. Here's the thing. You've got a San Francisco 49ers team that played at MetLife Stadium last week, and the field demolished their roster. Let's be honest. Jimmy Garoppolo, not playing this week. Nick Mullins is going to get the start. Mostert, Coleman, out as running backs. What does that mean? I think you're going to get a heavy dose of McKinnon and Jeff Wilson this week in the backfield for the 49ers. Kittle is not going to be active, therefore he cannot be attractive. You know that's what I like to say. Deebo Samuel, he was already on IR. Bosa, Ford, Thomas, all on defense, out along with Sherman. Let's be honest, people, and follow me here. Let's be honest. The 49ers are a JV football team coming into MetLife Stadium tomorrow. They are a JV football team. Alabama should be able to beat the 49ers tomorrow. On top of how decimated they are in regard to their roster, this is a team that has been here on the East Coast for over a week. Now, the Rams were on the East Coast, went back home, and they're coming back east. The 49ers stayed, but they didn't stay in this area. They went down to Virginia. Nonetheless, these dudes, they want to get back home. They don't want to be here anymore. Their entire, you know, majority of the skilled position, the big name players, playmakers on their roster are not playing tomorrow. On top of that, they don't want to play on this. They don't want to play at the stadium. They don't want to play on the surface. Mark my words. If there is one more injury to a 49ers player, a big name 49ers player, soft tissue injury where he is out, do not be shocked if the team refuses to continue to play on that field tomorrow. Do you hear me? Like, Ty, do you know what potentially could happen tomorrow at MetLife Stadium if one more 49er player goes down with a soft tissue injury on that field? They could protest. They could they could boycott. They can say, we are not going to continue to play this game on this field. There is something wrong with the field. And I understand that they've changed the field twice. I understand that, the NFL came in and they examined the field and they've been given two thumbs up. It's A-okay. But I'm telling you, if there's one more 49er player that goes down tomorrow, I will be shocked if the game is completed. Agree or disagree with me, Ty?
I mean, it's a tough situation because the injuries happen. And
like, dude, I just rattled off all these players.
No, I understand that, Anita, but
like, I understand injuries happen, but like not like this.
Yeah, but it's some of it is going to be attributed to it's the pandemic, so you got the preseason being wiped out. Football is already a violent sport. Like, I understand injuries, maybe not. This might be unprecedented, but are we really going to blame the field? The Jets and the Giants play there as well. So, like, I mean, it's just tough to attribute it just to that.
The number of players, Ty, it's ridiculous. So I'm just throwing it out there. Let's hope that nobody gets injured tomorrow. And I know
it's football.
I know that's a big ask. Here's the thing. This is Ty, non-contact. Watch for non-contact injury. Contact, like what we saw happen with Saquon Barkley, okay. Like, yeah, you know, stuff happens. That happened. I get it. But here's the point. If you have a 49ers player who goes down with a non-contact injury to soft tissue, let me ask you, Ty, and I'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. If you're a 49ers player and you see a teammate go down with a soft tissue injury, non-contact, are you going to want to get back on that field and play? I'm not. Ty, I'm not.
I mean,
especially if I'm a player who, I don't know, I'm up for a contract. I mean, because let's be honest, Saquon Barkley just got screwed. That knee injury, yeah, you know, it doesn't help the Giants, but it doesn't help his situation. Let me tell you something. Saquon Barkley needs to come out next year and ball out like he did his rookie season in order for him to get paid. Understand that this injury that happened with Saquon Barkley affects more than just the Giants. It's Saquon's, it's his bank account. And he needs to come out next year and have an exceptional year. Because teams aren't, if you look around the league, you know, there's very few and far between teams that are willing to pay the kind of money that I'm anticipating Saquon Barkley and his camp are going to want. Because he's a running back. You just don't pay that position. So I don't know how many players out there that are going to be playing for the 49ers that might be in a contract, maybe a year or 2 years out from a contract, want to come and play on that field when they see how just insane the players have the injuries have been to their players. Anyway, here's where I'm going with all this, because I've kind of derailed a little bit. So you've got a 49ers team. They're a JV football team. They've been here on the East Coast for over a week. They can't wait to get home. They don't want to play at MetLife Stadium. They don't want to put a toe. They don't want to step a toe on that field tomorrow. How are the Giants getting 3.5 points? This I don't understand. This blows me away. How are the Giants not favored tomorrow? How are they not -3 or -3.5 or -2.5 or even -1? How are the Giants still +3.5 tomorrow? I don't get it. I don't get it. It scares me. I am staying away from I am not touching this game with a 10-foot pole. I don't get it. Understand that the odds makers in Vegas are probably the smartest people on the planet. And they still have the Giants at +3.5. It blows me away. It boggles my mind. This is the conversation I had with Mike at Hoboken Pet earlier today. And you know what? I want to have this conversation with you as well.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Something shady is here. Something shady is going on. I don't quite understand it. Granted, yes, they don't have Saquon Barkley, but you know what? They signed Devontae Freeman. They have Deion Lewis. They have Gallman. I think we'll see all three running backs on Sunday against the 49ers. No Sterling Shepard, but let's be honest. Sterling Shepard has been a shell of himself, not just this year, but the last 2 years. Slayton is the main wide receiver who's established really great chemistry with Daniel Jones. I just don't get it. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Jason in Connecticut. Jason, welcome in.
Hey, Ian, thanks for taking the call. I mean, just based on you saying that you're not going to take the spread just because you think something's up, can you think of a spread that's so ludicrous that you would say, I don't know what the Vegas oddsmakers are doing, but, like, I have to take this bet?
I'll give you one this week, Jason. That's the Patriots. Here's something really interesting, right? So the Raiders, they open up their new stadium in Las Vegas on Monday night. They play a very physical game against the Saints. They beat them. Now, short work week, they have to travel across the country to take on a Bill Belichick team, who, by the way, is 27-8 after losses because they lost to Seattle last week. And you've got Ruggs is out. Jacobs is dealing with a hip issue. Waller's dealing with a knee issue. That line opened up at 6, and it's now dropped to 5.5. Dude, how is that line dropping? So just as perplexed as I am about the Giants, I'm perplexed with where that line is moving, but it's still my best bet of week 3. Patriots right now -5.5. And I'm just as perplexed as to why that line is dropping.
Awesome. Yeah. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You got it. You got it, Jason. 800-919-3776. Let's go to David in Staten Island. David, you're up.
How you doing? I just want to say huge fan. I kind of agree with you with the field and everything and why everybody got injured. But the reason why it's still +3 is that there's no consistency with Daniel Jones. If the pocket keeps collapsing and that O-line doesn't hold, what is he going to do? He's going to throw 2 interceptions. He's not going to hook up with Slayton. And I would say I would take the points with that. Honestly.
Okay. Is that what you're going to do?
I'm going to go with -3 against the Giants, and I would do the Raiders +5.5 because there's a reason why. There's got to be some reason why these guys know what to do in Vegas. I don't know how. I don't know.
I know, David. It's crazy, right?
I did
it's bananas. It's bananas.
I did a 16 parlay in week 1. I needed 1 touchdown in the Ravens game for an over 47.5. 1 touchdown in week 1, and they didn't score a touchdown in the whole 4th quarter. How did they know that? I lost by 3.5 points.
Because they,
you know what I'm saying,
David? I feel your pain, boo. Thank you for the phone call. You know why? The odds makers in Vegas are, like I said, they're probably the most intelligent people in the world, like MIT guys. And they know stuff. They just know stuff. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're warlocks and they've got crystal balls and stuff. I don't know. I really don't know. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tyrone in Newark. Tyrone, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how you doing? I'm sorry for all the noise. I was just in my car.
What noise? We don't hear anything. What's going on?
Hey, good then. Thank you. Hey, Anita, okay. I got a question for you. First of all, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'm going to let you know that right off the top. And I just want to know how you think they're fair with the Seahawks this week. Also, I got one more thing for you, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Anita, Saquon Barkley, his situation. Mm-hmm. How long has he been in the league so far for the Giants? I'm just asking.
This is his third year.
Okay, this is his third year. So now he's out this year. So next year be his fourth year, right?
The Giants can definitely tag him.
Okay, but well, anyway, can I finish? And then you can go there.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so this is fourth year, so next year will be his fifth year. Now, Anita, they already said running backs has a shelf life.
Tyrone, this is his third year, right?
Okay,
Ty,
so
can you confirm?
Next year will be his fourth.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Anita, with the injury that he have, That's not like no coming back strong injury the next year. He's going to have problems. So he ain't going to be back 100% full strength and cutting and doing what he needs to do and going
up. Adrian Peterson was able to do it. Yeah, Adrian Peterson was able to.
That's the only one we can name those, sweetheart. Right? Anita?
Yeah, listen, here's the thing. Tyrone, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. I understand where you're going here. I've had 7 knee surgeries. I've had 3 ACL. And so for folks that are listening, I played women's professional football for 5 years. The slew of injuries that I have had to endure is too lengthy for this segment. But I will tell you that I've had 7 knee surgeries. I've had 3 ACL, and 4 times I have either repaired or I have shaved my meniscus. And the 2 times I repaired my ACL, I used my own patella tendon in that rehab. And then obviously once you use your patella tendon once, you can't use it again. The 3rd ACL reconstruction I had was a cadaver tendon. And that healing process was a lot faster because obviously I'm not injuring another part of my body for the reconstruction. But you are not 100% for at least a year, if not 16 months. Might feel great, might get the clearance from the coaches, might get the clearance from the doctors to be able to active, but you are not attractive. And yes, Adrian Peterson was an outlier. It was absolutely unbelievable what Adrian Peterson was able to do in the time frame of recovering from ACL reconstruction and how he came back in the year that he had after that. It wasn't even a year, it was 9 months. It was just, he's otherworldly. He is an outlier. So I say that my expectations for Saquon Barkley next season, which I believe, Ty, if you could confirm with me, I appreciate it, will be his 4th year. I have realistic expectations, but if he's wanting a contract early, like the contract that the Carolina Panthers gave C-Mac, he's going to have to come in and ball out. And I don't know if he's, and here's another thing, like, you know, Saquon's body is, it's ridiculous. His quads are not human. I mean, let's be honest. So I've reached out to a few orthopedic surgeons just to ask, like, in regards to the recovery and how Saquon is going to be moving forward, is his body structure and the fact that his quads are so developed and so strong and there's so much muscle mass on the quads, is that going to help or hurt his development moving forward after an ACL? And the response that I've gotten is they don't know. But I think that's a fair question to ask. And I'll throw this out, 800-919-3776. On where this Giants team is right now, right? Like, wide receiving core, lackluster. Tight end, Evan Ingram, again, I don't anticipate Evan Ingram to stay healthy for 16 games. Like, his foot is just, it's his foot is a mess. So he's healthy right now. Like, I think the Giants know that they, moving forward, they're going to need another tight end. Obviously, their offensive line is good, but it's not great. They need a lot of help in defense. I'll throw the question out. Like, is Saquon Barkley what you think Daniel Jones in this offense needs moving forward? And not that Saquon Barkley is tradable right now. Okay, but moving forward, do you see Saquon Barkley long-term on this team where eventually either the Giants are going to have to tag him or pay him? And what do you think the wisest decision will be for this Giants team moving forward? If you listen to my shows, you know where I stand. I am not I refuse as a plain GM, like, I'm going to play GM here for a minute. I'm not going to pay wide receivers and running backs insane money. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pay my quarterback. I'm going to pay my left tackle. I'm going to pay my shutdown corner if I have one. And my defensive end. That's where the majority of my money is going to be spent. Because you know why? That's where championships are won. With those players. So I look at the running back. Like, I don't have a problem with a team drafting a running back. I wouldn't necessarily draft a running back in the first round. Late in the first round, I mean, look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and what he's been able to do for Kansas City. And they got him, what I want to say, right? 32nd. They got it, like, last pick of the draft last year, right? Like, I don't have a problem with, like, towards the end of the first round, draft a running back, and you have that running back playing on a rookie deal for 4 or 5 years, right? Maybe a rookie deal for 3 or 4 years, and then you know, maybe you tag him a year, whatever the case may be, if he's exceptional. But, you know, the type of money that the Jets and McCagnan agreed to pay Le'Veon Bell, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So I think the strategy when it comes to general managers in the NFL is, let me draft an exceptional running back late in the first, if not in the second, to come in, and you got to time it out. You got to time it out where you're winning championships, or you're making it to the playoffs, and you're making a good run in the playoffs with that exceptional running back with the first 3 or 4 years of that running back's career. And unfortunately, the Giants blew it. The Giants blew it with Saquon. They drafted him because they were going to be committed to Eli Manning. We know the story, and it didn't happen. Offensive line was shoddy, so they went to Daniel Jones. Eli couldn't fit the bill. So, you know, the plan blew up. And they missed their window. To me, the Giants missed their window with Saquon Barkley, and now he's injured. Not that the Giants were going to be competing for a championship this year or even make it to the playoffs this year anyway, let's be honest.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
What do you mean? Oh, when you nod your head yes, but you want to say no, what do you mean?
Now teams can just completely play coverage and dare Daniel Jones to and the Giants to try to be patient enough with a backup running back and a not good blocking offensive line. And so now your quarterback is kind of going to have to play the rest of the season with one hand tied behind his back.
What do you mean? Look at you, Ty, spinning the hits today. I'm sitting here dancing.
DJ Ty on the ones and twos.
There you go, boo.
Have a second career. If Peter could do sports, sports and music, maybe I can aspire to do the same thing.
And eat crickets. Was that about? What happened there? Disgusting. What was that about? Why did he have to eat crickets?
I guess he lost a bet last year on the K Show. NFL picks.
And so he's paying the bet up now?
Yeah, I don't know why there was some delay in terms of the payoff. I would imagine
maybe he couldn't get the crickets. I don't know. I mean, crickets are hard to come by.
The pandemic had something to do with it.
Yeah,
maybe not knowing if we were going to get an NFL season, but yeah, that was disgusting. Mm-hmm. Not a great moment for Peter Rosenberg.
I will say I saw the video online. I saw it on social media, and Peter looks pretty trim. Is he trimmed down?
Losing a lot of weight. I believe he did the Weight Watchers. Not that we want to give them a plug.
Oh, really?
But yeah, he looks really good.
Well, do they advertise on the K Show? They should. If they don't, where's our sales team? Guys, get on that. Weight Watchers. Peter looks good.
Yeah, he looks great, man. Shout out to you, Peter.
No, he does. Seriously, he does. I saw him eating crickets on social media. And I was
maybe that's the reason he lost weight. That the crickets fleshed him out.
What does that say about me? That I wasn't more appalled by the fact that he was eating crickets. I was more impressed with the fact that he looks really good.
Says a lot about you.
And not that Peter ever looked bad, but I mean he looks trim and fit.
Says a lot about what you prioritize as important.
I guess. So, what's the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So there's I don't know if it still exists because so many restaurants in New York City have shut down. I don't know if they'll ever open again. But there was a Mexican restaurant in New York City that I used to go to, and instead of salt, they would substitute salt with ants. And so they had a guacamole that they served with ants, and they served their margarita with an ant rim. Mm,
that's disgusting.
I thought it was actually quite delicious, to be honest with you.
I was going
to
say, that's something you...
Oh, yeah, I partook.
All right, so for me, it's an octopus head. Octopus head.
Live? Was the octopus alive?
No.
Oh.
I was at a Chinese buffet, and mm-hmm. they were serving octopus heads, and it was actually really, really good. Really good.
When I lived in Baltimore, there was this great little French restaurant right near Annapolis. It's a little town called Ellicott City, and there was a great little French restaurant owner who, unfortunately, I just found out like a few months ago, had passed away. Not COVID, but passed away. And I used to go there at least once every 3 months, and I used to have like the chef menu with the wine pairing, and he served me muskrat one day, and it was it was muskrat over warm cabbage.
Oh my glory!
And that was a lot for me. I mean, that was a big deal for me to you know, put on my big girl pants and eat muskrat over warm cabbage. And I will say it was really good. I've had ostrich. But you know, I don't know.
Yeah, not good.
Crickets. It's a,
I wonder how many,
I would do it. You know me, I would do it. Yeah. If you lost a bet, you've got to pay up. Yeah, I would do it.
Do you think any?
I've done some crazy stuff in my time.
Do you think any UFC fighters partake in eating crickets?
Oh, look at you. This is why you're the constant professional. This is why you get paid the big bucks, boo. The UFC returns to fight. Can I just say I love Fight Island. I love Fight Island. I think it's brilliant. Dana White, you are brilliant. The UFC returns to Fight Island for UFC 253 on ESPN Plus tonight. Tell us who's fighting, Ty.
It is Adesanya and Costa. Izzy Adesanya.
Right? And Reyes?
And Blahovic. I'm sorry. Blahovic.
There you go. You don't want to miss this one. UFC 253 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Wow, that's a deal. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. 800-919-3776. All right. Let's go to our calls. Let's go to Steve in Tampa. This should be interesting. Steve, welcome in.
Yeah, hey, this is Steve in Tampa, home of the Steinbrenners. What I want to know is when the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive lineman lines up, he lines up next to a man. He doesn't line up next to a woman or a millennial boy. Okay, men want to rally around football. They want to rally around men.
What? Ty, what was that, dude?
I have no idea. We should just move on.
What was that? All right, let's regroup. We come back. I don't even know what to say. I love it. Anyway, when we come back, Brian, Eddie, Molly, I see you guys. We're going to rip through your calls because Bill Barnwell is going to join us at the top of our second hour. Very interesting. There are a number of teams out there that are 2-0. There's a number of teams out there that are 0-2. This is a conversation I had on Daily Wager this week. And this is a conversation I'm going to have with Bill Barnwell. Which 0-2 team does Bill and I feel make the playoffs or have the best chance or best opportunity to still make the playoffs?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It's a situation you hate to be in because just 3 years ago, it was, you know, tank for Sam. He was supposed to be one of the three best quarterbacks in the draft, and you finally were going to get your franchise guy, and it looks like there's some, you know, indecisiveness as it pertains to whether or not he is. So, I mean, it's a terrible situation to be in if you're a Jets fan. You know, Trevor Lawrence, as good as he is, at no point in the last 3 years did you ever think you'd be in a position where you'd want to tank for Lawrence.
By the way, coming in, we heard another promo for the Michael Kay show. By the way, I saw also on social media Michael Kay eating a Whopper. What was that about? Was that the first time Michael?
That was a couple of years ago when he lost the bet. Oh. He was forced to eat a Whopper, which is
he had never had a Burger King Whopper before.
Yeah, that's a little concerning. A little bit concerning.
Oh, so that was like from years past.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I don't know about you, but like growing up as a kid, like Mama Mimi, I wasn't allowed to have fast food. So fast food, like a Burger King or McDonald's, for me was like a treat. Like if I got, I know it's so messed up, right? Like, oh, you got an A on your report card. Okay, we're gonna take you to McDonald's and feed you this horrible food.
Feed you garbage.
we're gonna take you to McDonald's or Burger King, where like, you know, the food only stays in your body for about a minute. That's about it.
Yeah,
I know. Might be TM. How it works with me.
Feed you absolute trash.
But that's how it was. Like, so I didn't eat a lot of Burger King, McDonald's when I was a kid. But I will say this: every now and then, I need a Big Mac. Every now and then, I need a Big Mac with extra special sauce. Like once a year, I'll treat myself.
I haven't had a Big Mac in like 10 years.
That's how I look. Like I'm gonna treat myself. This is some food that's just going to destroy my insides.
You're going to treat yourself.
But I look at it as a treat.
You're going to treat yourself to a burger that costs like $2.50.
By the way, I'm in my new home studio. I have a TV on my wall, and it's Washington and Cleveland will be the first NFL game with female coaches on both sidelines and a female official on the field. Can we just marinate in that for a minute? Like, I'm sorry, that's freaking awesome, right? It really is. And both these women who are coaching for the Washington team and the Cleveland Browns played women's professional football. Now, I'm a little older than them. So I played before them. I never played against them. But I think it's really, really awesome that this coming Sunday is going to be a really, really special moment for women in this industry. The fact that there's going to be two female coaches on each sideline and on top of that, a female official. So I just thought, you know, I just want to share that with you guys. Where I went with that promo, I just got a text message from a friend of mine who's listening to the show who said, don't forget you ate pig face. And because earlier Ty and I were talking about like what's the craziest, what's the wildest, what's the craziest thing you've ever eaten? Because Peter ate crickets this week on the K show with a bet I guess he lost. There's a great little Asian Korean infusion restaurant in New York City. Unfortunately, it's closed because of COVID. But it's a place that I would frequent quite often, and one of their specialties was pig face. And so yes, I have eaten pig face. So how does that make you feel, Ty?
You want the real answer or you want
And you know what's really disgusting? Like they serve it to you, it literally sits on a platter. It like comes to your table and it sits on your table and it's literally a pig's face with like everything, eyes, ears, the whole thing, and you dive right into it. It's kind of nuts, but
yeah, it's something that I really would never have interest in doing.
It is absolutely delicious. 800-919-3776. We have Cynthia Freeland who's going to be joining us at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, let's take your calls. Obviously, a lot of conversations surrounding the Jets and the Giants today. So let's continue with your calls. Let's go to Jimmy in Staten Island. Jimmy, welcome in. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Anita, what's going on? Good afternoon. How you doing?
Great.
I just want to say, you mentioned, I wanted to talk about the Jets real quick in regards to the number one pick. First thing first, I just want to say the Giants, they actually are doing really well. And I think we need to give them kudos for that because, you know, their season could have looked just as bad as the Jets. But when it comes to the Jets, I think that if it comes to getting that number one pick, I think they should take it, and I think they should go for Trevor Lawrence. And the reason why I say go for Trevor Lawrence, you know, because I don't think Sam Darnold's career will be over. You got guys like Belichick that love him, you know, they'll probably take him with open arms, you know. And as far as, you know, going for Trevor Lawrence, I think that, you know, I think they should follow. I think the Jets should follow the same step Arizona took, where, you know, they got the perfect coach, and they got the perfect quarterback. But last thing I want to also say is that, as you mentioned, two organizations that had great quarterbacks over the years, which is the New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints. And I think the Jets, they just have to stay stable. We can't keep switching coaches. We can't keep switching GMs, because now, say if, you know, next year, you know, things don't work out for, you know, Trevor Lawrence, then now we're talking about firing Joe Douglas. You understand? So we just have to figure out, you know, the perfect. We gotta stay stable, and we can't, you know, we gotta just stay focused, and we can't just hop on the next big thing. You understand? You gotta let these guys develop also. So, you know, that's my take.
Yeah, Jimmy, I hear you. You know, listen. There's a reason why, and thank you for your phone call. There's a reason why Joe Douglas is making the money he is. I mean, he has to make these really, really important conversations. And I've said this before. There's no other position in sport to me that is more important than the quarterback in regard to a franchise success or failure. And Joe D is going to have to make some really, really difficult decisions when it comes to Sam Darnold. You know, either they believe in him or not, whether they can assess the situation and look at the film. And obviously Joe and that organization know Sam better than we ever will. And I know Joe D and the time that he spent in Baltimore and the tutelage that he's had under Ozzie Newsome, who I feel is one of the best general managers in the history of the NFL. And really, I guess the only thing I could really tell and say to Jets fans to make them feel at ease or a little bit more comfortable with the situation is, in Joe D, you're going to have to trust. And you're going to have to trust that he's going to make the right decision.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click,
Click, Click, Click,
or Don't.
Click, Click, Boom.
Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. It is time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way that we span our wide, wide world of sport and find out what exactly is trending. And Ty's producing the show today, so he will lead the way. So what is trending today, Ty?
All right, so NBA playoffs. Last night it was game 5 between the Celtics and the Miami Heat, mm-hmm. with the Heat looking to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2014. But the Celtics said, oh, no, you're not, or at least not yet, because we're going to game 6 following the Celtics' 121-108 victory last night. So, you know, Jaylen Brown on the mindset of Boston coming into this game down 3-1.
We're just trying to take it one game at a time. I think that's our focus, that's our emphasis, and we'll see what happens at the end. Like, we play hard and play with each other and fight, we'll see what the results come out to be. But I think that's our focus, is just, you know, one game at a time.
6 players in double figures for the Celtics last night, led by Jason Tatum, gave you 31-10-6. What a monster game for Tatum in an elimination game. How impressive was that? Miami, on the other side, they were great in the first half, not so much in the second half. So we will indeed see a game 6 of this series tomorrow night on ESPN between the Celtics and the Heat, with the chance to get to the NBA Finals. Boston hasn't been there since 2008. Miami, as I mentioned, hasn't been there since 2014. So this should be fun tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I told you last week, I play golf every Friday with Ron Harper out there at Spook Rock. And he told me straight up that he has Boston winning the series. And he actually thinks Boston is going to be a better matchup against the Lakers. We're all anticipating the Lakers to win out of come out of the West. And you said you agreed with him. So you think Boston's going to win the next 2?
I do. I've got a vested financial interest in this series, and so it's my heart telling me that the Celtics will win it, and my head as well. You just said the Lakers, speaking of which, the Nuggets looking to stave off elimination tonight, down 3-1 for the third consecutive series. They came back on the Jazz, came back on the Clippers, but the Lakers, a completely different animal. Tim Legler, though, recapped what went right for the Lakers as they won Game 5 on Thursday night.
The Lakers had several chances to put this team away, and to Denver's credit, they just won't go away. They continue to fight. Somebody makes a timely shot. They stay within striking range. But then when it was winning time, about four-point game, about 5 minutes to go, LeBron James guarded Jamal Murray pretty much the rest of the way, or they hit him with a trap. They were not going to let Jamal Murray beat them the way that we saw him do in that Utah series. And I think his size and strength for a short spurt can be very effective on Jamal Murray, and I think it was to help close this game out.
So we rave about LeBron's defensive intensity on Jamal Murray at the end of that game that helped the Lakers escape 114-108 to go up 3-1. But he was also, you know, I guess average on offense because his jump shot wasn't falling, but he still gave you 26-9-8. The Lakers tonight with a chance to get to their 32nd NBA Finals. It would be number 10 for LeBron James. So, I mean, Denver, you got to show up tonight. It's do or die. And like I said, this is not the same beast that was the Clippers or the Jazz. So you got to show up tonight. Jamal Murray, Jokic, they have to lead the way. We'll see if they can get it done.
Well, let me ask you this, because the Nugget, like, being down 3-1 is nothing to this Denver team. They've done it before in this bubble. I mean, you know, you're saying that there's a chance. Are you even saying that there's a chance, or
no,
are you just you don't
think
there's...
this series is over? The Nuggets did have a chance to make it interesting. Down 3 with 308 remaining in game 4. Jamal Murray drives to the basket. Met by LeBron James at the rim. LeBron got away with a foul. He definitely fouled him. The officials did not call it. The Lakers come back. Rajon Rondo hits a shot to put him up 5, and that was all she wrote. If they win that game and it's 2-2, it's a best of 3. Anything can happen. You still lack your chances if you're the Lakers because you've got the two best players in this series. But 3-1, no, it's not happening. I actually give the Nuggets a good chance to win tonight because the Lakers might take their foot off the gas pedal, but this series is over. The Lakers are going to the finals, and they'll be waiting for, I think, the Celtics or the Miami Heat.
Okay, what else you got? We got one more. That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
We wrap it up. Oh, just a quick update because mm-hmm. the Yankees are playing right now. It is 3-3 as we head to the top of the sixth inning. So, you know, looking to rebound from that horrible loss last night that saw the Marlins celebrate on the field at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, two games left in the regular season. Yankees want to go into the postseason on some kind of positive note because it's been up and down. They had won 10 in a row. Now they've lost 5 of 6. You mentioned how Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton have struggled mightily since coming back from the injured list. You've got Cole and Tanaka in your rotation and then question marks every bit of the way after that. So it's a rough time right now. Just rough in terms of your confidence level. You're still the Yankees. You have a great team. You're expected to win the World Series. But if you are a Yankees fan with those types of aspirations, there is a lot of trepidation going forward just because of what you've seen so far in this season.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Tyler Koeppner joins us here. You can see his work all over the New York Times. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Really do appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. I've got a lot of questions I want to throw your way. First and foremost, in regard to what's going on with the Marlins, the fact that they're 30-20. I mentioned this when I opened up the show today. It's kind of like I was prepping for the show this morning. I look at the Marlins. I look at their record. I was like, oh, wow. Marlins are 30-20. That's great. And then I look over the Yankees, and I'm like, oh, no. Yankees only won 32 games. it's just like, you know, I mean, obviously different expectations for both these teams coming into the season, but it's so impressive. 18 players that had the virus, 7 doubleheaders, 167 transactions that went down, 62 players that were active and started for the Marlins. It's unbelievable the season that they've had, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, if you had said all that and knowing that they are the Marlins, the team that lost 105 games last year and hasn't made the playoffs in 17 years and all that, you would have said there's no way they're in the playoffs, even in a shortened season like this. But it's to their credit, Don Mattingly held them together. And, you know, they made a lot of really good, low-cost veteran pickups. They have a lot of good young players, but a lot of those guys aren't quite ready yet. And it's these, you know, veterans, the Aguilar and Marte and a lot of the relievers they got, especially during the pandemic, you know, their virus problem, that are really leading them into October.
It's really fantastic. Meanwhile, on the opposite side, you know, you've got a Yankees team and they're kind of limping into the postseason. And I came across these standings. If Major League Baseball, if the regular season was to end today, and just to kind of give you an idea, the Marlins would finish as the sixth seed. They'd take on the Cubs as the third seed. But the Yankees, they would finish as the fifth seed and they would take on Cleveland. There's still a chance that they might finish as the eighth seed. And if that happens, then obviously they take on the Rays, and they have not had a lot of success against the Rays, right? The Rays have won 8 of 10, the 10 times that they have faced the Yankees. So obviously that's not a favorable matchup. How do you see the rest of the season playing out for the Yankees, Tyler?
Well, that's you know what everybody would like to know, because the Yankees seem capable of anything, right? I mean, they seem like they could go all the way and win the World Series, but they also seem like they could be a first round out. You know, it's been 60 games almost, and they haven't really revealed themselves about, you know, who they are, because, you know, they can be either really hot and look great or just the opposite. So, you know, I think they're going to have a good chance, just because Garrett Cole, you know, will start off that series, the best of three. And then, you know, Hap's been pitching well, and they've got the talent. It's like Aaron Boone said in your clip there. But they haven't shown it consistently, which sort of means anything. You can envision any scenario.
Well, and I mean, in covering this team, I mean, there was some hefty expectations for them coming in. And I understand, you know, a 60-game season, you know, I want to say like a few weeks ago, I read where like if you lose six straight games or seven straight games, it's comparable to, you know, losing 20 straight games in a regular Major League Baseball season. But give me a few of the top reasons why you think the Yankees are where they are right now, where they're just struggling to avoid being the eighth seed in the postseason. What has gone wrong for them this season that you feel needs to be corrected if they are truly going to make a good shot of winning a World Series?
Well, I mean, there are some things that you know, they wouldn't be able to correct at this point. I mean, you know, they would have loved to have had James Paxton, you know, for the whole season, and he really wasn't there at all beyond five starts. You know, that's kind of where it starts, because they still have, you know, three solid starters. I think, you know, Happ has pitched so much better lately, and with Cole and Tanaka, Garcia, you know, we're seeing his last outing today. But it's been, you know, some injuries. Obviously, you know, they had Chapman was down for a while in the bullpen, and then, you know, all the others that we know about with Judge and everybody. So it's just been a little bit tough to get, you know, the whole gang together. And you know, they haven't had that sort of magic from the backups that they had last year. But, you know, I think, you know, you look at Gary Sanchez, he's given them a lot less than they thought. But again, they still have a lot of good things going for them too, which is what makes them, you know, such a tricky team to kind of evaluate.
So again, I was sharing with you in regard to what the matchup would be if the season was to end today, the Yankees would take on Cleveland. And let's just say if you envision that very well could be the matchup, you know, how much success do you think Yankees, how do they match up against Cleveland? Like in anticipating what happens in that series, what do you see happening if it is Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland's a really tough matchup just because of that upper echelon starting pitching. I mean, Matt Blake, the Yankees pitching coach, you know, was there in Cleveland and you know, had a hand in bringing out the best of some of those young guys. But my colleague James Wagner wrote a good story today about Matt. But, you know, Shane Bieber has been the best pitcher in the majors this year. You know, so you're going to have to get him. He can certainly match up with a Garrett Cole and neutralize that advantage. And then you have, you know, Carlos Carrasco, who has been very good this year, and Zach Plesac. You know, obviously he had the the issue with going out one night with COVID and all that, but he, you know, with the breaking the COVID protocols. But since he's been back, you know, he's been very good. They just have a lot of live arms too. I mean, James Karinchak in the bullpen, not a lot of people know about him, but he's a strikeout machine. This kid, Tristan McKenzie, who's going to go from the rotation to the bullpen. So they've got a lot of arms, a lot of live arms, and great stuff. And, you know, we've seen with the Yankees, their lineup can be susceptible, to the blackouts every now and then, you know, like they just sort of go. I mean, Tyler Wade just hit a home run here and it was their first home run in, I think, 190 team at bats or something. So you could easily see a team with as many good arms as Cleveland, shutting down the Yankees. It would be a really tough matchup.
Tyler Kepner joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, you can see his work all over the New York Times. I've got some of the odds up here. Very interesting. The Yankees are still favored to win the American League and represent the American League in the World Series at plus 280. The Rays are at plus 300. The A's are 5-1. Cleveland is plus 650. Who do you envision coming out of the AL to represent the AL in the World Series?
It's really hard to get a grasp on it because, I mean, Tampa Bay and Oakland have been, the best teams, but they haven't really shown that they can go too far in the playoffs. I mean, they've been very good for a while now, off and on, but, they don't have that pedigree. Then again, the Yankees haven't, as we all know, been in the World Series in 11 years. So you can always, make the Yankees a favorite because they are the Yankees and they have the big names. But we've seen plenty of times where we thought they had the edge and they couldn't quite do it. So it's going to be fun to see. I mean, you can kind of make a case for anyone. The White Sox have been tremendous lately. I feel like they maybe strike out a little bit too much, but they hit for massive power and they've got Giolito and Keuchel. You can just make a case for just about anyone. But if you had to pin me down, I don't know. I mean, you never want to see Minnesota because we've always seen them get bounced by the Yankees right away. But they've had a great year too, so who knows? Maybe this is the year that Tampa Bay and all the interchangeable parts and all the crazy Jedi magic that they have going on down there. Maybe this would be the perfect kind of year, right, for a team like the Tampa Bay Rays to just break through and go to the playoffs. Everything's so weird that 2020, and maybe the Rays and their weird ways will pull through.
What about the National League? Dodgers are favored by a lot, +130 to rep the National League. Padres 5-1. Braves +5,500. Cubs 7-1. Who do you see coming? I mean, it's the dot. I know we sat here and we're kind of like shrugging, like, I don't know who's going to come out of the American League, but like, are you obviously more confident that the Dodgers come out of the National League, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Dodgers, pennant to lose. I mean, they've won two of the last three, before the Nats upended them last year. And they're six games better than anybody else right now. So you'd have to give them the edge. But that being said, a team like Cincinnati could be really dangerous for the same reasons I mentioned with Cleveland. Their offense is a little imperfect, but they do have some punch in there. But when you look at Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray, they can throw three really good starters at you and just take advantage of their arms. So, the Reds are going to be very dangerous. I wouldn't make them the favorite. You have to make the Dodgers the favorite. It's just no way around it. But I could see a team like Cincinnati with that pitching making a nice run.
Wow. 16-1, by the way. Hashtag run, don't walk. Before I let you go, if you can kind of break down what the postseason's going to look like. I was talking to Ty, our producer, before we had you on. So I guess the first round is not going to be in the bubble, but moving forward after the first round of the playoffs, then they are going to be in a bubble. Do you know what cities those bubbles are going to be in?
The one bubble, I mean, they'll have the they will have the American League teams at the NL ballparks in Southern California. So they'll have Dodger Stadium and San Diego will be used for the division series. And then San Diego will host the entire ALCS. And then on the National League side, the division series ballparks will be Houston and the new ballpark in Arlington, Texas. And the Arlington ballpark will host the National League Championship Series, and then will host all seven games of the World Series.
Fantastic. Tyler, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. I really do appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, Anita, you too. Thank you.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.